Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Voices for Change 2.0, the only podcast that focuses on mental health while mixing in movies, music, books, sports, and pop culture. Here are your hosts, Rebecca and Joe Lombardo.
Hey, good morning, everybody. We are happy to be with you today. We hope you are having a great Saturday so far.
Hey, good morning, everybody. Thanks for joining us. Thanks for taking time out of your busy schedules to listen to our humble little show. We are grateful to have you with us today.
And we're lucky to be able to even be doing this, excuse me, today, because we still don't have cable or internet in our house. And thankfully, our internet provider is different from our cell phone provider, so we're able to use our cell phone as an internet hotspot to be able to hook up our computer and our microphone and everything.
It's so ridiculous. Yeah. You know, if I told you guys what we're actually going through with our internet and our cable right now, you would be blown away. It's unbelievable. And
we won't mention any names of any companies.
No, I'm really trying to bite my tongue. But yeah, someone is actually climbing the pole and unhooking our service. It's ridiculous.
And it has to be a tech from some company. It can't just be, you know,
some random Joe Blow off the pub, off the street.
So that's the fun that we're having right now. But the important part is that we're with you and we can do the show today. So let's get on into it, shall we?
That's right, baby.
Okay. Excuse me. Pardon me. I'm losing my voice again. This is the third week in a row, I think, that we get on here and I start losing my voice.
It's because you're excited.
At the beginning of our show, you usually hear the opening. It says you'll hear, you know, we're the only mental health podcast that includes movies, music, sports, TV, and books. Well, we decided that we haven't been including enough of those other topics. So I reached out to a lovely friend of mine that just happens to be the vice president of communications with a company called Kinetic Content. And they are the creators of shows like the entire Little Women franchise that I am so addicted to.
She really is.
Yeah, 100% addicted to it. And I thought it would be fun to get her perspective on the shows. So she's here with us today. So please welcome Paria Siddiqui.
Hello.
I'm sorry,
Siddiqui. How are you guys? Oh, no worries. How are you guys? Thank you so much for having me.
Oh, it's our pleasure having you on, Paria.
Paria.
I am tripping over my mouth today. I'm embarrassed. I'm sorry.
Don't worry. It's a difficult name.
Yeah.
Well, I can does speak not so good. So.
Yeah, it's. I know it's early for you, but it's early for us too. So we'll get together, and I promise that'll be the last mistake we'll make on it.
It'll only get better.
I love it.
So how's your morning going?
Not too bad. I'll be very honest. I just woke up.
Yay!
So I'm sorry for the sleepy voice.
Oh no. It's fine. We call that smoky. So
yeah, I like it. I take that.
Yep.
All right. So if you don't have any questions for us, we're just going to go ahead and jump right in.
Sure. So let's do it.
Okay.
Great.
So when did you first know that you wanted to work in television?
You know, I was 4 years old when I remember saying that I wanted to be a war correspondent. I always wanted to tell the stories that I thought, especially at that age, that not a lot of people would be signing up to tell. I'm from the Middle East, and I think just innately I know that there's so much going on in the world outside of the United States. And I could see even at that young of an age that there wasn't quite the spotlight on those stories. And I wanted to be the person, boots on the ground, on the front lines, telling the stories, being the voice for those people. Excuse me. And I continued my journey studying, reading. I wrote my very first book about nothing, really, at the age of, I think it was 9 or 10. It was 300 pages. And actually, last summer, I wound up burning it because I was so embarrassed that I would write such a book. But I'd always been very, into reading and writing and asking questions. Even as a little kid, my mom would always say that I'd be the little girl in the group with all the adults because I loved conversations and I loved in-depth conversations. And my, kids my age weren't having, I guess, the conversations I wanted to have. So I continued on that path, and I was very lucky. I got into the University of Oregon. And I studied journalism, broadcast journalism, and the Oregon program is a 5-year program. And your last year, you learn everything. You learn how to shoot, you learn how to edit, you learn how to light everything from 2 people to 7 people. They're very big on, making sure you know every aspect of television making. And then you're given the chance to apply those techniques and skill sets to, real life things, which was really amazing. And right out of college, I actually wound up getting really, really lucky. I don't know how in depth you want me to go in with this, but I basically ended up getting a job right out of college at ABC Network News, which I always say network is kind of like the NFL of football. So I bypassed, a lot of the smaller teams, if you will, and I went straight for the big leagues, which was incredible. And I started out as a desk assistant in the Los Angeles Bureau. And I think once they realized that I could shoot and edit and do all those kinds of things, they had me go out and shoot elements for our world news packages. And I was producing live shots. And really within 6 months, I think because our bureau was so small, we all got to wear a lot of hats. And we were immediately challenged with really cool jobs. So pretty amazing that I wound up living the dream and doing what I wanted to do. I never made it out to cover any war stories, but I still got to work alongside the best of the best. And that's something that I never, ever, even though I was so young, I never took that for granted. I'd walk the hallways and just think to myself, some of the greats walk through these hallways. Peter Jennings, Charlie Gibson. Mm-hmm. When the New York anchors would come to LA, they would film out of that bureau, and it was magical. Wow. It really was magical.
That's really cool.
Goosebumps.
Yeah, I mean that's and to jump, right out of college, right into getting into the big leagues that quickly. I went to, there's a broadcasting school here locally in Detroit. I don't know if you ever heard of it. Bex Howard School of Media Arts. I went there back in the 90s, and it was just an 8-month program. So nothing as in depth as what you went through with University of Oregon, but they still, they taught you how to shoot and, lighting and, script writing and all that stuff. And, when you graduated from there, it was with the expectation of, all right, I'm going to start out doing farm reports out in the middle of nowhere for my first couple of years, and that can put people off from it, And so I'm just nothing but crazy respect that you were able to jump in with both feet like that. That's exciting, man. I tell you.
Thank you. I was ready. I was ready to go to a small town and really truly work my way up. I got really lucky that I actually knew somebody in the industry who Brian Rooney. I actually ended up interviewing him while I was in college because years before I had babysat his daughters, and I'd never really met Brian. I mostly interacted mm-hmm. with his girls and his wife, but knowing that I was, you know, babysitting his girls, Andy Rooney's son, and Brian, who was just one of the best of the best. It was always, even that little bit of, you know, knowing I was kind of in the guy's house was so, so cool. And then when I was in college, I was asked to write a report on somebody still in the industry. And I thought, let me see if Brian will give me, you know, some time, as busy as he is. And he was so gracious and so wonderful. And he said to me, he said, next time you're in LA, I'd love to have you come and take a tour of the Bureau. And I was like, I would love that. And of course, I'm somebody who, you say that to me and I'm going to never want to bother you about it again. And I guess lightning in a bottle happened twice for me, because I happened to see him and his wife at my godparents' Hanukkah party, because they're all neighbors. And when he saw me in LA, he goes, I told you, next time you're in LA, I want to take you on a tour. Tomorrow, we're going on a tour. It was so lovely. And if that had not happened, I promise you, I would have never approached him and I would have never bothered him about it. And he took me in, and it was like my Disneyland. And I suddenly it turned from a tour to kind of an interview. He had set up a meeting with me and the bureau chief. And the bureau chief and I sat down and we spoke for almost like 40, 45 minutes about everything. A lot of sports talk. And he asked me, you know, if when I'm done with college, if I would want to come back to LA and work as a desk assistant. And I'll never forget, I said to him, I'm so embarrassed now, but I said to him, I will clean toilets to work here. And he laughed and you know, he kept to his promise. I left Oregon within 2 days of graduating, moved back to LA, and started immediately at ABC.
That's awesome. What a great story. Yeah, that's and that's inspiring, you know, and it just shows, you know, fortune favors the bold. You know, it really does.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know. So
that's
when did you start
saying I don't feel very bold.
No. The fact that you went through, I'd have been like, oh no, that's okay, thank you very much. And I would be off probably scrubbing toilets somewhere and you know, Albuquerque or something. No, not to knock Albuquerque. I love Albuquerque. I'm putting that out there.
Sorry, Albuquerque.
I've been through your town. It's a beautiful town. I love you. So,
keep the mean tweets to yourselves.
That's right. Yeah. That's right. So, when did you start working for Kinetic Content?
So I was at ABC a little over 3 years, and it was really sad. There were some major, major layoffs happening. And, you know, I knew I was safe because, A, I wasn't making the money all the higher-ups were making, but mostly I wasn't on-camera talent. But it was really scary. I think that 1 year we had laid off like 350. I don't remember the number, but it was a massive layoff. And the only person out of the LA Bureau that we all knew was without, you know, with no question about it, was safe, was one of our Nightline producers. And 1 week he comes in to our assignment desk and he announces to like four or five of us, I'm leaving ABC. And we were shocked because so many were losing their jobs and we knew he was untouchable. And we asked him, like, what would you leave? You immediately assume it's for another news gig. And he said there was a new production company that had started and he was given an offer and he was taking it. And then a week or two later, perhaps, I don't know why, but I decided to check my junk email. I never, ever, ever, ever check my junk email, and I did. And he had sent me an email saying, you know, send me your resume. And I look back on that, and I always think I could have missed the opportunity to be at Kinetic because I was this close. Had I not seen that email, he wouldn't have followed up. He would have just taken my lack of responding as a lack of interest in the gig, you know?
Right.
So
yeah.
I responded immediately. I sent him my resume and I still quite don't know what compelled me to do that. Cause I was, you know, I was at my dream job and I'm like, wow, I'm doing this. I like a good challenge. Let me see if this will go anywhere. And a week later, he brought me in to meet with the CEO. And I really felt like I had bombed that interview because one of the first questions the CEO asked me was, do you watch reality TV? I'm a horrible liar. So I just was like, no, I don't. I watch a lot of news. I'm a news junkie. You know, I watch my competition. I watch the Today Show and CBS and that's kind of what I do. And in my head, I thought, God, I could have prepared for this a little better. And I could have at least come in with a handful of reality TV show names. And I left his office and I thought, well, that was a good interviewing, you know, practice, but I won't get that job. But that
right.
night, my old colleague called me and said, you know, Chris loved you and wants to offer you the job. And I was stunned, and I asked to sleep on it, and he said to me, he goes, I know it's a move backwards, and I know you know nothing about reality TV, and I know you're not going to make any money up front, but you are going to want to work for this guy. Not only is this company going to explode, but he is, I promise you, you're going to want to work for him. And I really trusted my old colleague a lot. I'd seen the career path he paved for himself and all that he'd done. So I did my research
right.
on the CEO, and I loved everything I read about him. And the next day I went to ABC, and I broke the news that I, too, would be leaving for this new company. And my bureau chief and my deputy bureau chief independently took me into their offices, like, is there anything we can say to change your mind? And are you sure you want to do this? And they were so mad at my old colleague when he came into when he was like cleaning out his office. They're like, you're taking Paria too, which was really, really sweet. And my bureau chief, he is one of the best bosses I've ever had in my life. Such a good man. He said to me, he's all like, if you ever decide to leave, you always have an open door here. And that made me feel so comfortable because, you know, it's a startup. You don't know what will happen with a startup. I
right.
felt like the CEO was the kind of guy who would not fail at anything he put his hands to. So I wasn't too concerned, but so comforting to know, especially since I was so young and you never know
yeah.
if it's kind of a reckless move you're making. But I was so happy to know that I'd have, you know, a job to fall back on should this one not work. And lo and behold, I started as a desk assistant. You know, you go as a startup, you're buying furniture and office supplies and pretty, again, I hate to keep using this word, but pretty magical to kind of be at the very ground floor and help grow a company, to see the growing pains and to see the people who come and go and to just feel like, with your hands, you're helping assemble something that you truly hope will turn into something magnificent. And I'm very lucky now, 7 years later, to say that Kinetic is thriving. We went from, you know, 1,600 square feet to almost 60,000 square feet.
Wow.
It's one of the things I truly love, especially my job is kind of to brag about the company and to brag about my colleagues. And I love bragging about that because it speaks volumes about my boss and also my colleagues that, you know, it's grown to this place where we have, at any given time, 17 shows in production and on the air. We, you know, we're buzzing. There's so many people who come and go, and I think we have a pretty good reputation. I'm not going to stamp my name to it, but I feel like people are always like, I want to come back and work at Kinetic because it's a very freelance-based industry. You know, you bring editors and producers in and story producers and post supervisors, and everyone's very much freelance. But we definitely keep the great ones. Like, you'll see a lot of the same faces, and And yeah, it's just, it's an exciting time to be in reality television. And I feel very, very lucky to play a very small role in making it happen.
Wow. That's really cool. You know,
yeah,
and
it's
awesome when you get in on the ground floor of something and it just takes off like that, you know, you know, I know just from hanging out, watching all the different shows with Beck, you know, they're very well produced and, you know, just a lot of good riveting content. I get sucked in watching this stuff and I'm going to be honest with you. It's not my bag, you know, but I will watch it with her and be like, okay, what's going on with Tara? What's going on with, you know, this person or that person? And, you know, I'm like, what am I doing? I'm like, hey, where's turn on football or something for God's sake.
Oh,
but
I'm going
but
to
no,
you.
I'm sucked in.
Joe from the Women LA, Tara's husband, says, real men watch Lifetime. That's his tagline.
And just putting this out there, because we've talked with him.
We've interviewed him.
We love Joe. I love Joe. I think he's just the awesome. He's so funny. He's great. You know,
he's fantastic.
Tara and Joe are the reason that my Joe will watch the show, because the stuff that comes out of
Mr. Nafo's mouth.
Mr. Nafo's mouth. It's just absolutely hilarious.
It's priceless.
So funny.
It's brilliant.
It's priceless. Yeah, he really is. And I'm hoping someday his cover band makes it to Detroit. Just because I would go and see him, and I would love to hang out and have a drink with the guy.
Yeah, really.
So many people say that about Joe too. Like, I just want to sit down and have a beer with him. He's just, whether you've met him or not, you can tell he's just salt of the earth and amazing. And he's so much fun to be around. He really, I leave every conversation with Joe with a six pack. That's not really true, but I feel like I got a six pack from laughing as hard as I do.
Well, on that note, we are going to take a quick break. We're going to be listening to Trevor Page with American Dream.
Oh,
Hey, welcome back to Voices for Change 2.0. We are glad to have you with us today.
Hi. Sorry, I spaced out there a second. Welcome back. We are talking. I got to get over myself this morning. I'm giggly.
Yeah, you're having an episode today. I don't know what's going on with you.
We're talking with Paria Siddiqui. Did I say it right?
Perfect. Nailed it.
Yay. I got it. I'm like doing it in my head. I'm like, don't screw it up. Don't screw it up.
All right. And we're just really glad to have her with us today.
Yes.
And we're going to pick up where we left off. So, Paria, what is your position with Kinetic Content?
So the official title is Vice President of Communications. In essence, that means I oversee all things PR and press related, social media and digital. So the strategies implemented in those three categories for our shows and our talent, I oversee those, and I work hand in hand with my network counterparts because we sell shows to every network. So I work hand in hand with my network counterparts and making sure that we do our best job of telling the story on a on different platforms, whether it be via social media or on YouTube or on the network's website. And also my big responsibility, even just personally, but I know it's a huge factor of my job, is making sure I bring, I personally know it, that sounded so strange, but that I help bring eyeballs to our shows. So when we launch a show, I help initiate with the team and with the network as much PR and press around the show to make sure people out there know that a new show is about to come either back on the air or is about mm-hmm. to premiere for the first time ever. And then week to week, I try to garner press via either interviews with talent or exclusive clips to try to make sure that we build buzz every single week around our shows that are on the air. So it's really fun because on any given day, my world looks very different. I also handle talent relations, so I'm kind of the point person for our talent who more often than not are not television natives. They're very new mm-hmm. to the landscape, and I take that responsibility also very seriously. I try to make them feel at home, and it's very important to me that they know how much we as a production company love them and want to protect them no matter what their role is on our show. Our CEO comes from an agency background. He was an agent in the past. So, talent is very important to him too. And I try to apply that importance to everyone I work with. So, any given day I can either be on set with someone on Access Hollywood, or I am in my office, writing up multiple pitches and thinking of ways to continue to help put Kinetic on the map, or I'll be on set on one of our shows behind the scenes, helping either produce or, coming up with PR and marketing strategies. So the network will send a photographer, for instance, to set, and we will make sure we get all of the PR images in ahead of time for that show to help us make noise around the show when it does premiere. So I love it because leaving news, one of the things initially my first year or two at Kinetic that I really did miss was the urgency in storytelling. Every single day we had multiple live shows at ABC. So I always was moving at 300 miles per hour. I think my deputy bureau chief one day actually called me out in the newsroom as like the fastest person to get around town, because again, I took that so seriously. Like, oh my God, I can't be the reason, because I didn't bring back footage or I didn't bring back a good enough interview. I can't be the reason our package goes black on World News tonight. So I did miss the speed and the pace and the urgency behind news. And I think now, while there isn't quite that pace, I still get to see different things and do different things in my department. And I still love that. I love that. It's my favorite. Outside of bragging about my colleagues, that aspect of my job has to be my favorite part.
Cool. And
that's a good you love your job.
Yeah, it's a good work ethic too, you know. Mm-hmm. Having that feeling of responsibility, you know, both when you were at ABC and now with what you're doing. It's, you know, kids take note. If you want to be successful in life, you got to have a good work ethic.
Yeah, exactly.
So, what TV shows?
I also think, by the way, one more thing. Since you said that to the kids,
sure.
I also think one thing for, especially if you guys have any young viewers, but really anybody, if you keep in mind that no matter where you are in your career, you're never too big to do any role, I think that will help you a lot. I don't think I would have taken the gig at Kinetic if in my mind I thought, well, I don't want to be an assistant again. I've paid my dues. You know, I don't
right.
want to start over and buy, you know, furniture and crafty and do all of that. Like, last week I was producing alongside Diane Sawyer for World News, and this week I'm, you know, at a brand new company and all I'm doing is, you know, ordering furniture. That would have really set me back if that was important to me. So I think for young kids, or really truly anybody who wants to make that change but is scared, don't worry about starting over, and don't let your ego overpower where you could ultimately mm-hmm. end up going, because it really
right.
the ride alone is so worth it.
Exactly. That's what I was gonna say, roughly the same thing. Don't let ego get in the way of where you're going, you know.
Absolutely.
So what TV shows is just butchering that. Kinetic content. What TV shows have they produced?
Obviously, we've spoken about the Little Women franchise already.
Yeah.
But
right.
What else have they put together?
Yeah, thank you. Thank you for the opportunity to talk about all of our shows. So, yes, definitely Little Women is a huge franchise for us. Multiple spinoffs in multiple cities, and, of course, Tara's Little Family. And we've got another
mm-hmm.
little show that we'll be announcing here soon that I'm very, very excited to announce to everyone. And then
mm-hmm.
we do, we've got the Married at First Sight franchise, which is huge. It recently went from FYI and A&E onto Lifetime, so it now also airs on Lifetime. We are in our sixth season, which I'm so proud of and so excited about, and that season will be in Boston. We're currently in production, which is very exciting. And
okay.
we, off of Married at First Sight, we've also had multiple spinoffs. We had The First Year, we had Second Chances, and then some short form shows, you know, Unfiltered, Confessions, and Married Life. And then we do a lot of cooking shows. We've had multiple seasons of The Taste on ABC with Anthony Bourdain and Nigella Lawson. That is no longer on the air, but what a cool show to work on. I really miss The Taste. I wish we could bring it back in some capacity. And then we did Man vs. Child for FYI, another really fun show with some of the most talented young chefs, prodigies I've ever met in my life. These are kids who are not only chefs, but also excelled in everything they did in their lives. Schoolwork, extracurricular activities, like geniuses, truly. I always felt really, really dumb talking to these kids. We have another show, Man versus Master, that is slated to start on FYI, hopefully in September, which I'm also very excited about. And another show on ABC we had called My Diet is Better Than Yours with Sean T, which was super cool and fun to work with. Work for and work on. And then in the past we did Off Their Rockers with Betty White for both NBC and Lifetime.
Oh, yeah.
That was super cool. I think we had three, four seasons of that show. And to say that I worked with Betty White on set is something I never really thought would come out of my mouth. So grateful for that opportunity. And Seven-Year Switch, another huge, huge show for us, where we basically, it's in the easiest and fastest way to explain it, it's the real life wife swap. We take marriages that are quite frankly on the brink of divorce, and we have them swap partners with people who we heard them say basically they wished they had married, and we test the theory behind, is the grass truly greener on the other side? And it is, it's a social experiment. It's super loud, and I'm hoping we'll be back for a third season with that one, because I love, love, love working on that show and seeing how people really do everything they can to try to save their marriage, even something that sounds as crazy and wild as this one. And currently on TLC on Sunday nights, we have one of my favorite shows called Spouse House, where we bring in seven single women and seven single men from the Chicago area. We move them into a house in Malibu. And these are folks who want to get married. They are done with the dating scene, truly, truly just done with the dating scene. They want to move on to the next steps in their lives. They want to start their families. Most of them are in really great places in their careers. The only thing missing for them is their life partner. And we have two incredible experts who help, you know, with assignments and with pairing and really testing them to their limits to remind them of why they are in the spouse house, why this accelerated space works for people who are truly set on getting married. And we had our first wedding air on the spouse house 2 weeks ago. And this Sunday, we will see tomorrow night, we will see our second wedding happen. And again, using this corny word, it's so magical to see people who want love and marriage, will do anything to make it happen, who trust us with the process. And then to see them walk down the aisle and, you know, make these vows to each other is truly special. So Sunday night, Spouse House on TLC, 10/9 Central. If you're not watching it, you are missing out. I promise you. Gotta watch it.
So, sounds awesome.
I know, Joe. I know. It might not be for you. It might not be for you, but I can't tell you how many people, even men, who are like, I got hooked because my wife or my girlfriend watched this.
No, I will have you know, I'm all on board for the whole wedding thing. You know, my lovely bride next to me is into all sorts of different wedding shows, and I'll sit and watch them with her. And although there was one that I was not a fan of back in the day, and she's chuckling because she knows which one I'm going to mention. The name is similar to a very popular Japanese monster.
Let's just say the name of it. It was Bridezilla's.
Yeah, I couldn't.
He hated
that show. So, but you know the you know, say yes to the dress and the, you know, just all the married ones getting, you know, we're getting hitched and all that stuff. It's great, you know, because, you know, it reinforces for people that, you know, love is still out there and to embrace it. You know, Beck and I have been together for 16 years and we're both very proud of that fact. And, you know, to see, you know, a couple of young kids getting started on their new journey in life is awesome. So yeah, I'm all for it, you know, and I do not balk one bit at Spouse House. I hope nothing but the best for these crazy kids.
Thank you. Me too. And congratulations, 16 years. That is amazing.
Yeah. Amazing. Thank you. It just happened to us on August 3rd is our anniversary. So yeah, it's hard to believe that it's been that long for me.
It's hard to believe that she's put up with me for that long.
so, So, how much input do you have in the creation of shows?
Honestly, probably none at all. Maybe in my head, in my office, with the door closed, and I'm talking out loud to myself, and I'm like, I wish we did a little bit of this, and I wish we did a little bit of that. But I think I mentioned this earlier, I'm very big about staying in my own lane, and we have such incredible producers at Kinetic, and they know what they're doing. There's certain points where, of course, if I'm in my office, in the office with, you know, having my meeting with my CEO, I may say like, oh, I wish we did something more like this, or I don't know if that was the best idea. But does he care? Probably not, because I'm overly, he knows all of my weaknesses and strengths, and he knows he's put me in this role for a reason. But I don't think I have much say. I'm one of the few people at the company who listens and watches what everybody online is saying about our shows. So I'm sure the feedback is appreciated. Is it ever applied? Probably not. And I don't mind that. Like, I don't think that what I bring to the table is going to change or make anything we produce so much better, because it's already so incredible and we have masterminds. But I will report back and say, hey, you know, this season, this didn't work so well. So if they want to take that into consideration for next season, or this worked really, really well, we should do more of this. If they want to take that into consideration for the next season, they do or they don't. I never am like, oh, it's because I warned them or because I suggested it. I'm sure that's never the case. It's truly because it works for what it is they need to do to produce the best possible show, if that makes any sense. I hope that makes sense. I ramble. I apologize. And I think maybe I lost you guys.
Yeah, sorry, this is Scott. It looks like they dropped off there. So welcome, everyone. We're still listening to Voices for Change. They'll call right back in. We're having a little problem with their mic, so I'm going to go to a song. This is Tara Naomi, Help You Fly. We're talking to Paria Siddiqui right here on Voice for Change 2.0. We'll be right back.
I know how misery loves a company. Got a party gathered around you now. They come running from far and wide. But who's going to help you? And they come calling when you're falling down. Someone always pick you up off the ground. Oh, nobody wanna see you cry. But who's gonna help you fly? Whoa. It's like a little town. People always gonna help you get by. But who's gonna help you fly? It's a messed up situation. When I got the word to call on when the well runs dry. But I just wanna celebrate my life. Wanna find someone to help me fly. Whoa. Bye.
Hey guys, welcome back. We are sorry for if you got to any of our technical difficulties.
Yeah,
there.
if you're just tuning in, yeah, things kind of went kaflooey there for on our end for a minute. Sorry about that. technology, hey, right?
Yeah,
all right.
What can you do?
So
anyway, we're back with Paria, and we just have a few more questions for you. Can you share with us a few of your favorite moments with one or more of the shows?
Yes. So if you know me, you know that I am a hardcore fan of The View on ABC. I've never, ever, ever, ever in my life missed a single episode. So every season, every episode, I'm there for it. I usually watch at night, whether it be back in college. I'd come home after, you know, work and school, and I'd catch up on that day's episode. Right now, I'm like 60 episodes old. Like, I have so many on my DVR that I have to catch up on. And I will go back and watch that, you know, old episodes. Anyways, the first season of Little Women LA, four of our girls were on The View, so I traveled to New York with them for a two-day press tour. And to be there, to be at The View, to meet the girls and have, like, Whoopi come by and say hello. And at one point, she kneeled down to the ladies and said, you know, I love your show. Like, keep doing what you're doing. You're so inspiring. And to witness that was, I didn't think it would be quite as big of a dream come true as it was. I still look back on that day with chills. So to be in the green room, and then, of course, to watch these women who I adore, both from Little Women and The View, interacting with each other was so incredible. So that was one of my hands-down favorite press moments ever. Of course, going with Tara and doing Dancing with the Stars was amazing to be there week to week and to watch her, you know, shatter every single glass ceiling because she's so just dynamic and incredible. And then follow her through the red carpet was also so incredible. And I think I'm one of the few people at Kinetic who has been at every single Married at First Sight wedding. And I'm about to go to my sixth season wedding soon here. To watch strangers get married with your heart in your throat because you have no idea what they'll say, what they'll do, it never gets old. And to be there and to help tell their story again on my end from a very, very small way, I never take that for granted. The fact that these folks have signed up and are so brave that they're willing to, you know, trust our experts and trust the process and sign up and then hopefully walk down the aisle to meet, hopefully, their happily ever after is truly such a gift to be there every season. We have now, I'm very thrilled to say we have four successfully married couples still from Married at First Sight of the five seasons, and it's so cool to be able to say that and to see their journeys, to see their love stories continue to grow. And then I think one of my other just super, super favorite moments is seeing a show that, you know, perhaps you people have never, ever, ever heard of, to see it grow and become a huge hit, and to see folks like you guys say, we are really big fans of Little Women. I mean, once upon a time, that show didn't exist. And then seven seasons later, 3 years later, to sit down with the two of you and to have you say, God, we love that show. That makes everything we do, the long hours, the long days, the is this going to work? That makes it all so worth it.
That's really cool. You know, and just all of it. I mean, the fact that you got to go to The View and, you know, meet everybody there, and just that combining of both worlds that you're, you know, one you've got a hand in and one that you've been on board with from the beginning watching it back to college. I mean, that's got to be a kind of a surreal feeling for you, but that's, you know, really cool. And then, you know, the whole thing with Dancing with the Stars of Terror was just, you know, we enjoyed watching that just mm-hmm. on our end. That was, you know, after watching her for the last couple of years, and like you said, see her break all these glass ceilings was just, it was awesome. It was really inspiring, you know.
Absolutely. She was amazing.
Yeah. You know, it was just very, very cool.
She is a force. Yeah. That woman is a force to be reckoned with.
Yeah, that's about the best way you could put it, I think, too, you know, is just, I have a really good question here. We know that with reality TV, you sometimes get drama. Mm-hmm. That being said, have there ever been any moments on the shows where you were worried or concerned for a cast member? Like, oh, maybe that went a little far kind of thing.
Yeah, you know, we know that Little Women, every city, our cast can get a bit wild. And I think from a production standpoint and a human standpoint, you never, ever, ever want to see anybody get hurt. But they have had some all-out brawls. We've had, you know, chipped teeth and hair pulled out and earrings taken off and bodies slammed to the floor. We've had the average-sized women who have gone in on fights, especially with our Dallas cast last season, where, you know, mm-hmm. it feels like it gets very out of hand and very dangerous. And, of course, as producers, we do everything possible to make sure we have security there and to make sure people get involved as quickly as possible. But, you know, when emotions get heightened and the fists start flying, I'm that girl, and I have been like this since I was a little girl. I can't watch somebody get hit. My entire body shuts down on me, and I kind of have a mini panic attack. So when you watch your girls, like I call every single person who's on air talent with us, they're my kids. And I'm so protective of them.
Right.
And to see the bodies flying and to see the glasses flying, to see the fighting happen. While, of course, it makes for really great television, on the flip side, they're humans and they're friends. And they get into fights because there's such passion and love and hate there. But I have to take a couple moments and sit back and, you know, make sure that I've caught my breath. And it's always hard for me to watch. I watch with kind of my eyes half closed and holding my breath. And then, of course, I have to make sure that we get the proper clips to press and make sure that fans know that, you know, everyone's okay. And, you know, so-and-so mm-hmm. was rushed to the hospital and protocol was taken to make sure everyone was okay. But it's crazy.
That's good.
Yeah.
It's definitely crazy.
That's good. Yeah, we watched before and been like, oh my God, what, you know, what the hell's gonna happen there?
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
So
it really bothers me when fans online say that we fabricate those fights, that we, like, it's all fake, or, you know, I'm like, no, there's so much passion and heat behind that. Like, these are girls who have been through a lot together, and then when somebody crosses the line, it's, you know, out of our hands.
They're all very strong-willed women.
Yeah, definitely.
You know, so
yeah.
Before Beck asks the question that she's got, I was really curious about, just a little behind the scenes thing. When you guys do the reunion shows, where they're all on couches and, you know, you're highlighting different clips, where is that actually shot? Is that shot at Kinetic, or do you guys rent out studios in LA to do that? How does that work?
Yeah, great question. We rent out studios in LA. That makes sense for the size of our cast and for the look we're going for. And basically, we have incredible production management teams at Kinetic, line producers and production managers and coordinators who take the creatives that the producers assemble, and they are truly the people who build the home. They make the magic happen. They have to take all of the stuff that, as creatives, we get to kind of live up here in the clouds. Our production team makes it all happen. So they're figuring out, okay, locations and venue and parking and trucks and gear, and I can't go on. And I mean, I could go on and on about how incredible the people behind the scenes are. But yeah, we rent out studio space for the most part. We almost always film all reunion shows in Los Angeles. I don't know if fans know that or not, but we fly the cast out and we film everything in LA.
Okay. Yeah, I was actually curious about that.
So really quickly, we don't have a heck of a lot of time left with you, but really quickly, could you give us a brief glimpse into what the future is for Kinetic Content?
I think Kinetic is going to continue shattering its own glass ceiling by, you know, just more incredible content that you can sink your teeth into. I'm really excited for the shows we will be announcing in the coming months. I'm really excited about the shows that I know are in development. We are going to be doing some really fun digital series coming out soon. We'll be introducing you to people you'll love, people you'll love to hate, and shows that I'm very biased, I know, but I think you'll be seeing shows that you will quickly become very addicted to. So a lot more happening within the hallways of Kinetic, and I just, again, part of my job is to make sure you know about it, and I cannot wait to announce a lot of the things that we are playing with right now.
That's awesome.
Yeah,
that sounds awesome. Sounds like a lot of good stuff for us to look forward to.
Yeah, definitely.
In the coming months.
I'll be watching your social media.
Thank you. Thank you both so much for being fans of the shows, for even wanting to talk to someone like me. I'm usually, you know, I'm the person behind the fun, the real talent. So to be given this opportunity has been so much fun. And I love people who are Kinetic fans and who are true fans of our shows. And I know that you are, Rebecca. You and I have built a longstanding friendship over the last couple of years. So I love what you guys are doing. I'm big fans of yours. And again, thank you for this opportunity and for spreading the word that, you know, we're making good television and that entertainment is worth attaching your name to in some capacity.
Absolutely.
Yeah, absolutely.
We're so glad to have you, and I'm glad we were able to finally get it scheduled and going, and it's been a delight to have you on the show.
Absolutely. It's been a pleasure, especially for me with the whole behind the scenes thing. Thank you so much for waking up good and early in LA and you know, being on with us. We're very grateful.
Absolutely. So stay on the line with us for just a moment. And this is Jeremy Jordan and Laura Osnes with Dare to Dream.
I longed to find, but living was labored and life was unkind. Yet I was determined to press through the fog and the steam. So I dared to dream. Now there's a world clear as the day, nothing and no one can stand.
Every day it comes sadly, the future is not up to me or to you.
You can't believe all the lies you've been told. You can't control your own fate. Listen to what I am saying before it's too late. Where is the boy inside the man? What are his wishes and what is his plan? You'd be a hero, held in the highest esteem, if you dare to dream.
Day after day, and night after night, I've lived under orders and stayed out of sight. Then suddenly you've come and opened my eyes, and now I can see past the fables and lies. I've longed to be looked at instead of looked through. The future is focused on you. Show me a world where I can be me.
We can be,
and we can be everything we want to be. With this new promise, we'll be forever supreme. If we dare to dream, we'll be remembered as history's promising team.
Join us next week as Rebecca and Joe continue to battle the stigma of mental illness. Follow us on Twitter at Voices for Change RJ and on Facebook at Voices for Change 2.0.
Don't miss the Mental Health Memoir of the Year, It's Not Your Journey. It's Not Your Journey is the true story of one woman's 20-year battle with mental illness and her recovery from a suicide attempt in 2013. Rebecca Lombardo candidly reveals her real and raw emotions in dealing with depression, bipolar disorder, the loss of her mother and brother, and more. Pick it up today on Amazon.com or visit www.RebeccaLombardo.com for more information.